Now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Berez.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett. Honored to have you join me again this week. My guest today is Pat McShay. He's been a friend of the ministry for, golly, forever. He's a writer, a researcher, and an activist whose articles have appeared in over 200 news sites around the world, including stateofthenation.com, beforeitsnews.com. We've even posted Pat's articles on powerofprophecy.com, and he's also been on rents.com. Pat's articles have been translated into over a dozen languages, including French, German, Spanish, Italian, Japanese, and Russian. He's got quite a bit to say, and I am honored to have him join me today. Pat, welcome to Power of Prophecy.
Thank you so much, Jerry. It's good to be here.
You know, we've chatted for years via email. And,
yes, we have.
you regularly send me links to articles that you've recently published, and most of them have been in State of the Nation, and I love that website. It's a great place to publish.
I do, too. They're great guys.
And you sent me the last one. It was titled Targeted Assassinations and Foreign Entanglements, and it fired me up. And pretty soon I was back in replying to your email saying, hey, Pat, you want to come on and talk about this?
Yeah, I'll always do that.
Man, it is a very powerful article. And the reason I wanted you to come on and talk about this is I voted for Donald Trump. I'm going to vote for him again in 2020 because I think most of his policies have been positive for America.
I agree.
But not all of them.
His foreign policy's really, been scary. And I think what it points out is that no matter what our presidential candidates say before coming into office, they aren't prepared for the pressure they get from Israel to follow the Greater Israel Project, because the U.S. and Israel are still not close to the hegemonic dream that they wanted, a full-spectrum dominance over the Middle East that the neocons at the Project for New American Century signed back after 9/11. They had a plan for taking down seven countries in the Middle East, and Iran was one of them. Dick Cheney wanted to bomb Iran back in 2006 and couldn't get enough support. But that's where we're at, unfortunately.
Yeah, it seems to me that our foreign policy, at least as far as it relates towards the Middle East, is controlled by a tiny little country that does everything in its power to have our young men and women fight wars for them.
You know, that's a good point, Jerry, because just recently, I wrote about this about 6 months ago, an American general for CENTCOM over there said that American soldiers should be ready, this is a quote, should be ready to die for Israel. So it's a real problem, and I don't think Americans understand that their children will be fighting Israel's wars.
Right. Now, when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait,
yep,
there was a big lie told, weren't there?
There sure were, and they started the propaganda by bringing a young girl, 12 or 13, on, put it on the national news, and she was weeping and said that she was a witness to, in the hospital there in Kuwait, and said Iraqi soldiers were stealing hospital equipment, including incubators that babies were in. And she said that if there was a baby in the incubator, they were throwing them to the floor and taking the incubators. That turned out to be completely bogus, and the girl turned out to be the daughter of a ambassador in Kuwait. So, yeah, we're just led around by propaganda.
I talked with Jeff Rince a couple weeks ago on my show.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that a lot of people don't really understand was in the early 1900s, a little cabal of six-pointed star worshipers got together and decided to further spread their propaganda and not have any naysayers was to buy up all the media. So they bought up the New York Times, the LA Times, the Chicago Tribune,
sure,
the Washington Times, or Washington Post, whatever, to control the message.
Right.
Then we come out with radio, and who owns radio stations? Then TV became popular, and now who owns the TV stations? I mean, Rupert Murdoch is a prime example.
Exactly. And his son took over there about a year and a half ago, and you could tell the difference since the son took over at Fox. It's gotten completely different. More Shepard Smiths than Sean Hannity's over there lately.
Right.
But this goes back over 100 years. You know, Tex used to talk about the protocols of the Elders of Zion. And that was over 100 years ago, and they claimed back then that they controlled most all of the leading journalists and publishers and newspapers. And the same's true today. And most people don't understand that during the Clinton administration, Bill Clinton was behind this suffocation of our news. Now we're down, like you said, a handful of news outlets that control everything, and they're even coming after the Internet, as you know.
Oh, yeah, anything to control the message. Guys like you, guys like me, guys like Tex, Jeff Rince, it doesn't matter. We cannot have truth be propagated. I mean, look what they're doing in China.
Right, and, you know, the bottom line is we are controlled by the same bankers that were behind the Bolshevik Revolution, the Jewish-led slaughter of 65 million Christians in Russia. The same bankers control us today. The same bankers that were behind the Ukrainian coup that Obama led. You know, that was led by a neocon under Hillary, whose husband, Robert Kagan, I'm talking about Victoria Nuland,
right?
Her husband was one of the original authors of the Clean Break document for Benjamin Netanyahu that sent us into war in Iraq back in, 2003. So these people are all connected. The Israelis and the Americans were behind the push to take down Maduro in Venezuela. Venezuela, most people probably don't know, has more oil than Saudi Arabia. So they're going after the oil-rich countries, and they're going after the countries that aren't controlled by the same central bankers that control most of these countries.
Yes, sir.
I was just reading, Jerry, just this week, that the Iraqi Prime Minister, Abdul Mahdi, revealed details of some interactions that he's had with Trump and his administration in the weeks leading up to the assassination of Soleimani. And he said that Washington has been browbeating him and threatening him, and he said he's even talked to Trump. And he said that they are telling him that they will not follow through on these infrastructure programs in Iraq, like the electricity grid that we promised, until 50% of their oil revenue is turned over to the U.S. Mahdi claims that he has refused that. It'll be interesting to find out how much of that's true, but it sounds like the way we do business.
It certainly does. I came across an article that was in 21st Century Wire. It was published 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
That confirms that our source of intelligence is none other than Israel.
You know, I wrote that in my article before it was confirmed. And the bottom line is, anyone who's looked into the Middle East and CENTCOM and our U.S. military involvement in the Middle East. We have, our military has redrawn all the maps for the Middle East. And so, yeah, we are behind this stuff, and Israel gives us all their bogus doctored intelligence. That's what got us involved in the Iraq invasion to begin with. It was all crooked intelligence from Israel.
And Soleimani was splashed all over mainstream media how evil this man was. He was responsible for over 600 American soldiers' deaths.
Well, I wrote in my article there about that 600 death, and that has been debunked. Gareth Porter, an author, wrote a book a few years ago and mentioned how Soleimani was being accused of all of these atrocities, and he proved that they just weren't true. But this sounds like the buildup of the evil Osama bin Laden before, you know, the Iraq war. This is what they do. Same thing with Muammar Gaddafi, one of the greatest African leaders of our time, and we painted him as a brutal dictator, which was nonsense. Gaddafi could ride through the streets in Libya in convertibles because the people loved him. He had nothing to fear from his people. So it's all nonsense.
Yeah, most people don't realize that Libya was one of the higher educated countries.
Yes, they were.
The infrastructure was all in place. The people were happy. It's just the Jewish-controlled media that painted him this nasty, evil dictator and helped sell Americans on the fact that he needed to be removed.
You know, that's very true, Jerry. And another thing is, the reason the people in Libya were so happy is because they only paid about 15 cents a gallon for their gasoline for their cars. They paid very little for the heat for their homes, because it was all subsidized by the government. When a young married couple would get married, the government would give them money to buy a house. They spent $1 billion on an aquifer over there, and they had some of the best water in the entire, you know, continent. So he was doing great things for the Libyan people, but they couldn't have that. Not only that, you know, that we stole a lot of Libyan gold after that, and no one talks much about that.
No, they don't. Wasn't one of Gaddafi's main threats was he was going to make the dinar the main currency instead of the U.S. dollar for petrol dollars?
And I think he was trading in gold and everything but the U.S. dollar. You know, that's what's going on in Iraq. That's what's going on in all these countries is they're afraid that the dollar is sinking, and the Fed is pumping, what, $80 billion a week into the system. You know, the system is on edge, and everyone that looks at the stock market and believes that the economy is strong is missing the forest for the trees, I'm afraid.
I'm afraid so. Jeff brought up something a couple weeks ago that intrigued me. The fact that the Federal Reserve has been propping up Wall Street to make these numbers fantastic, when the bubble bursts, we could be a third world country.
Well, yeah, along those lines of what Jeff Rentz was saying, you know, a lot of these companies whose stocks are, you know, just going crazy, there's very little data to support these rises in the stock prices. So it appears that it is smoke and mirrors, and that's what I thought for quite a while. Have you ever read Michael Snyder at the Economic Collapse blog?
I love Michael's work.
You know, that's his contention, you know, too. A lot of these people that, you know, Ron Paul is just a great source of information on this stuff. He's one of the few people that really understands what's going on with the Fed, and, you know, that's why they got rid of him when he was winning all of the debates a few years ago.
Oh, yeah, he was a serious threat. I love Ron Paul. He's a fine American.
And he might have changed. He might have turned the country around. He would have gotten us away from these ridiculous wars for hegemony in the Middle East. And none of these ventures in the Middle East are doing any have any benefit for the American people at all.
Right.
So
there's an Italian phrase, cui bono. Who benefits?
Who benefits? Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, another thing, that made me think of these new laws where these college students can't speak about Israeli atrocities without fear of not just being kicked out of school, but being arrested. So we've got some major legislation that Trump has signed into law, had to sign it into law because the Congress would not even look at it in the past. Not seriously, anyway.
And all of this, man, it really twists me, because I do see a lot of the good that Donald Trump has done as president. But there are so many things that he's doing that, once again, who benefits? Why move the embassy to from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem? Who benefited?
Well, you know what? I don't even remember him promising that on the campaign trail. He keeps saying that was one of his promises that he kept. I've written several times that I don't know any American that really cared one way or the other whether they moved that. And another thing, you know, this whole thing about Trump letting them have authority in the Golan Heights and the West Bank, all that has done, and you've probably seen it, since Trump took office, the violence and the protests have been on the rise since Trump took office, because these Israelis, with every statement Trump makes, are emboldened, and they're going further and further than they ever did under previous presidents, and the attacks on Palestinians are up. They're killing protesters who are not violent. These are peaceful protesters. They're shooting children. They're shooting medics. And they're shooting reporters who are clearly marked. So the medics are clearly marked. So they're shooting them. The snipers are killing them. And there's got to be an end to it. The media in this country continues to back Israel, even though support for Israel in this country is going down every year. I just saw another poll the other day that support among college students is down the most, or people under 30, and it is the highest among elderly people. So the future does not look bright for Israeli support for these neocons.
Right. Now, Tex wrote a book, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. And right after we published that book, Henry Kissinger had an interview in the New York Post where he stated that Israel will no longer exist in 10 years. I wonder if part of that wasn't him speculating that greater Israel was going to come into being.
Right.
Because we know it's not going anywhere. America is the proxy army for the nation of Israel.
Absolutely.
Our young men are dying for them every day.
Every day. Yep. Well, you know, I mentioned here recently, you know, Mike Pompeo, who I, you know, kiddingly refer to as Rapture Mike, because, and that's not a slam on Christians, but Mike Pompeo has made some crazy statements about Trump, that Trump could be a present-day Queen Esther sent to save the Israeli people. You know, I think Rapture Mike is carrying this so far that he's making Trump out to be this heroic Israeli figure, and that's why I think it's important that Trump come clean if there has been a conversion to Judaism.
Yeah, that was an interesting piece in your article, that allegedly 2 years ago, Donald Trump converted to Judaism. It would make sense, since his daughter converted, Jared Kushner, a Jew, is his son-in-law, that he joined the Chabad Lubavitch group up in New York.
Well, and Trump's real name is Drumpf, and he does, I've read, have some Jewish history in his family. His father was very close to a number of Chabad Jews in New York, and the Chabad Jews are a fanatical group that believes that all Jews, and I don't know that every Jew believes this. I'm no anti-Semite, and I've been accused of that because I write about the Israeli Jews and the atrocities in that country. But the bottom line is this Chabad movement that is now worldwide. They're big in Australia. They're big in Ukraine. They're big in Russia. But they're big in America, and they believe that non-Jews are inferior to Jews, and they believe that non-Jews have a dark spirit, an evil spirit. It's all very bizarre, and it doesn't matter whether you believe it or whether I believe it. They believe it, and they are the most powerful sect of Jews on the planet. Bibi Netanyahu, all the rabbis in Israel follow this Chabad movement. Same with Trump. I read that Trump became a member of Jared Kushner's synagogue in Manhattan, and I read that Trump was taking lessons in the Kabbalah, which is only offered to Jews. Non-Jews cannot take instruction in the Kabbalah. So we've got a big problem here in America, and the big problem is that we're lied to about just about everything. Do you remember Eva Bartlett? Did you ever read anything by her?
I don't recall that name.
She's an independent journalist that was over in Syria. She was in Aleppo. She speaks the language. She's made a number of trips there. But on her return visit, she was over there with a peace group and the UN. But she gave an interview when she came back, and she said that everything that Americans or the Western media is reporting about Syria and the gas attacks and killing his own people were all lies. She said everything that we're reporting in the Western media are lies. So that's what we're getting, unfortunately. And unless we look at alternative news, we're just going to be led down the same path of war and destruction.
Kind of like Orwell's 1984, Big Brother's controlling the message.
It's just like that. That's where we are. But Big Brother didn't have the technology that we have. And people also need to understand that Israel gets all of the raw NSA data. I just read today that Israel helped authorities get into someone's phone that the phone company would not give the information up, and Israel helped them get that information. I think they were using their NSA raw data to access the information. They didn't have to break into the phone. They have all the raw data. So why does Israel have access to the NSA's raw data, which is what William Binney, one of the former heads of the NSA who turned whistleblower, has said?
Tex reported that many years ago, the reason they built that brand new structure out in Utah was for more computer storage, for NSA storage of raw data, and the fact that that raw data goes to Israel before it comes to our people.
William Binney said that. And if you remember, I don't know if you're familiar with him, but they used to have him on Sean Hannity a lot, and he'd been on Tucker a few years ago, right after the election, and they quit having him on. And I'm sure the reason that they did is because he's proven that there was no Russian hack. He's proven that. And yet our news media continues to push this Russian hack that Binney has already said was bogus. He also said something that should concern everybody, and it's not being reported either, and that is that federal judges, Supreme Court judges, congressmen, and senators are being surveilled by the deep state through the NSA illegally. And he said that 10 years ago, and nothing's changed. So they can go in and they can listen in on calls. I think that's why John Roberts made the decision he made about Obamacare. I think he's completely compromised. And, you know, now he is in charge of the impeachment hearings. So we'll have to see what happens there. We'll find out how many of these people in the Senate were compromised by Jeffrey Epstein, maybe.
Interesting. I know Hoover was big on gathering dossiers on judges, congressmen, senators, VPs, presidents, anybody in the cabinet. Hoover had a dossier on him, and he loved to gossip with Roosevelt about what was going on.
Well, think about it. You're right there. Think about this, though. Hoover had to rely on old-fashioned methods of bugging and things like that.
Yeah.
The people today, they have no problem. All they have to do is go to the NSA and say, here, I want all of this guy's telephone calls, all of this guy's emails, I want all of his, you know, social media posts, and I want to look at everything for the last 5 years. And then you have a team come in, pour over it, pull out all the nuggets that you can use against them, and then you send them a dossier and say, here's what we need. I think that's what's going on.
And it's interesting, the Supreme Court ruled that people who use cellular phones or the wireless handsets at home, because that data is transferred through the air, that it is free
right
for
into the cloud.
Everybody.
Sure. It's really frightening. And, you know, and then you've got people like Patrick Clawson back in 2012. He's with the influential neocon think tank, the Washington Institute for Near East Studies. And he openly suggested, it's on tape, you can watch it on YouTube. He openly suggests that the U.S. should provoke Iran into an attack by starting the war with a false flag attack. Do you remember that?
No, but that's part of the game plan, isn't it? That's
modus operandi. That was 2012. Nothing's changed. These people haven't gone away. They just go back into the shadows until they have another opportunity. And right now, you know, who said don't let an opportunity go to waste? Was that Churchill? They've got opportunities now, and they're taking every single one of them.
Yeah, I think it was Alinsky that modified that and said never let a good crisis go to waste.
Right. You know, and Hillary did her college thesis on Saul Alinsky, who dedicated his book, Rules for Radicals, to Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Very much so. Everything goes back together. And we're about out of time, Pat, but, you know, we were talking about neocons. They really didn't get to the forefront of our dialogue until Herbert Walker Bush got in office, a CIA lifer. But
right.
In the second half, I would like to go, if you don't mind, over some of the neocons and the fact that Trump is now enmeshed with these neocons.
I'd love to. Yep.
They permeate his office and
absolutely
his administration. And we could be looking at World War III in the near future. And that's some of the things that I want to get to in the second half. I am stoked to have you with me today. Excited that you agreed to come on and talk with me, Pat. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Jerry.
We're going to take a brief pause, and when we come back, I've got a whole lot more to cover with Pat McShay. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett. Stay with us, won't you? We'll be right back. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. Americans assume that suicide bombers are driving the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And yet the death toll of Palestinians in the last 4 years is 6 times greater than that of the Israelis. In a detailed study of the New York Times in 2004, it was discovered that they reported the deaths of Israelis at a rate of 3.6 times their reporting on the deaths of Palestinians. For the other media, the distortion was even greater. The major networks reported on the deaths of Israeli children up to 13 times as much as they reported on the deaths of Palestinian children, while American media covers the minutiae of the so-called peace process, Israel continues to consolidate its control over the West Bank. How it does so is described in The Holy Land Unveiled. It is important for Americans to come to grips with the truth about this situation. Our extremely biased policy towards Israel and our unwillingness to see the results are undermining our credibility in the Middle East and everywhere else. More importantly, it enables Israel to make the lives of Palestinians a living hell. It is important that Americans have a greater understanding of one of the most long-lived conflicts that is uniquely affected by American foreign policy. Only then can we help save the people of the Holy Land from genocide. 192 pages, The Holy Land Unveiled, written by Jennifer Dixon. We're only asking $25. Please add $5 shipping and handling. That'll make your total $30. You need this important book. Learn the truth. Now, you can get your copy by phoning us toll-free in Canada and the United States at 1-800-234-9673. Again, that's 1-800-234-9673. If you want to phone us on our regular number, which is 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time, and we really look forward to hearing from you. Now, if you want to order online, you can do so using your charge card, Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. Those are the cards we take. But you can do it online as well by going to our secure shopping cart at powerofprophecy.com. That's powerofprophecy.com. There's a link for it on the main page. You click on it, fill in the quantity of books you want, your name, your address, your charge card, method of shipment, hit submit, boom, we get it coming to you. Now, there is a third option on how to make it easy for you to get a copy of this book, The Holy Land Unveiled. All you have to do is send a check, money order, or cash. Please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy. Make the total $30, and you can send it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102 in Spicewood, Texas. And our zip code is 78669. Now, if I've gone too fast with the address, you can always give us a phone call and we'll be happy to give it to you. We're here to serve you, and we look forward to it. Okay, and now let's return to our regular program. My guest today is Pat McShay. Pat, welcome back to Power of Prophecy.
Glad to be with you, Jerry.
All right, before the break, I mentioned the fact that the neocons really came into prominence under Herbert Walker Bush. Bush Sr., as we'll call him Bush Sr., was a member of the CIA. It's been documented back in the late 50s, early 60s. I've talked about this on my show before. He was in the Dallas area the day that Kennedy was assassinated. But it seemed like out of nowhere, these neoconservatives were thrust upon us, and then the proliferation of bomb, 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 Iran, and all of the other garbage that was spewed out of D.C. was pro-Israel, anti-Muslim, wasn't it?
Yes. You know, the bottom line is the father Bush didn't go along with the neocons the way Junior did, and Junior jumped right in with both feet, which is why I think they brought him in. You know, the plan by the neocons to invade Iraq came about 5 years before 9/11 happened, and it was written for Bibi Netanyahu. most Americans don't understand the history of the Iraq War, and that is Dick Cheney, along with Donald Rumsfeld, John Bolton, a bunch of these same guys that came into the Bush administration, they'd already written a blueprint for war against Iraq, even though they had nothing to do with 9/11. So, again, that it just points out again that this has all been done for Israel, and as part of the Greater Israel Project that was written, you know, 40 years ago by an Israeli. And the whole thing was they couldn't wait around any longer trading land for services or land for something else. They decided to go ahead and take the land and take what they wanted, the oil. And that's exactly what they did.
Yeah, well, maybe that's why Bush Sr. only had one term. And then,
yeah, they blamed it on you know, his comments about the economy. But I think what they found in Bill Clinton was someone that would further their agenda. And I don't think they thought that Bush Sr. would. I think that had more to do with them losing than anything.
Yeah, and I think the reason Tex called Monica Lewinsky the Esther option. They needed dirt to get Bill to acquiesce with their Greater Israel plan.
Well, you know, everyone wrote back at the time that there was a Israeli spy in the Clinton administration called Omega. Have you heard of that?
I have, yes.
You know, a lot of people thought that that was Rahm Emanuel. Very well could have been. Mark Rich, who Clinton ended up pardoning. Mark Rich was another guy that was tied very closely to Israel. We'll never probably know everything he was involved in, but he was a famous Clinton supporter. And, you know, Clinton, they talk about some of these people that Trump has pardoned, but boy, Clinton, he pardoned some doozies.
Yeah, he did.
Wow.
And then we get W. And W was the perfect patsy. He's not the sharpest tool in the shed.
I call him George Bush the Dumber.
Right.
Like Pliny the Younger. But he was a compliant warmonger for sure. It was almost like Dick Cheney was the puppet master. Mm-hmm. And Bush just signed whatever he had to sign and made the same dopey speech. And it was really hard for me to take him seriously, although he wielded considerable power. It's just hard to believe that he was in charge of anything.
And then we get 8 years of Obama. And I call him Obama because it's Alabama, not Alabama.
Well, have you seen the pictures of him when he was about 12 years old in a tribal dress with a M16 in his hand? Mm-hmm. This kid was being molded from the time he was born. He's got people, CIA operatives, all around him his entire life. All of his records have been hidden away. He didn't go by Barack Obama. He went by Barry Sotero.
Yep.
Just a very strange, mysterious past that we'll likely never get to the bottom of.
Very much so. And Obama, ever compliant with the neocons, ordered 563 drone strikes. You write about that in your article, 10 times more than Bush the Dumber. I mean,
it's just amazing that they continue. And again, I don't go along with what Trump did with Soleimani at all. But for the Democrats to make a big deal out of that and not say a word about the hundreds of drone strikes, I just frankly, it's baffling how the media allows them to get away with it. But if the media is completely controlled, and one thing we can thank Trump for is a lot of stuff has come out and been exposed because of Trump's presidency. This Spygate, none of that would have come out had Trump lost the election. Hillary would have won, Peter Strzok would still have a job. Bruce Orr would have gotten promoted. You know, none of this would have happened. But Trump's foreign policy, for me, it's starting to outweigh the good because of the potential for how bad the bad can get. It's frightening. It ought to frighten people that are looking on and thinking that'll never happen. Because I think it will happen. And people need to realize that Russia and China are military allies with Iran. Russia has stated that recently. China has stated that. And they just had joint military or bilateral military drills with China and Russia in the Gulf there. So we better be very careful. And Trump scares me with his cavalier attitude and the way he throws out scenarios. He's going to throw one out that he's not going to be able to take back.
Well, the one thing that I've read so many books, and some of them are fiction, some of them are nonfiction, but American policy has been for eons that we don't assassinate heads of state.
Right.
But we threw that precedent out the window when we dropped a bomb on Soleimani.
Boy, and I made a note of that in my last article, that we opened a can of worms there that puts a target on the back of every senior diplomat, every senior American official, every senior soldier, and probably everybody in uniform for that matter. We put a target on their back, and if people think that Iran is just going to go away, they're making a big mistake. These people don't forget.
No. I mean, they've been warring with Iraq for thousands of years. It's
right.
It's one branch of Muslim or Islam versus another, and they don't see doctrine eye to eye, so they fight over it.
Right.
And two peas in the same pod, they just can't get along. But opening that can of worms is it should be terrifying.
Right. And as usual, Israel came out and issued a statement about a week ago saying that we didn't have anything to do with this. We didn't do it. And then it comes out that, of course, they did. If you remember back around the time of the Iraq war, the U.S. media made a big deal of telling us that, oh, Israel's not involved. They don't have anything to do with this. When, of course, you know, anybody with a pea-sized brain understood that, of course, this was all for Israel, and all the intelligence was cooked by Israel, and the whole mission was for Israel. So people they can't lose sight of the fact that it's all about dominance, full-spectrum dominance of the Middle East by Israel and America, period.
The thing that gets me, I've said this for eons, Pat, if you don't study history, you're doomed to repeat it. And people forget that Israel was behind attacking Iraq the first time. And then if you think about it, who showed up at the UN with a pie chart or a picture of a bomb with a red line on it and gave a speech about weapons of mass destruction being produced in Iraq?
Are you talking about Bibi, or are you talking about Colin Powell's?
Bibi. None other than Bibi Netanyahu.
Yeah, Bibi brought his bomb picture up, and that was all nonsense. The problem people have in this country is they read headlines and they watch the news for, you know, a minute or an hour a day, but they don't look just below the surface. They don't read the eighth paragraph. They just read the first paragraph. And typically, if you look just below the surface, you understand that what we're being told is just nonsense. You have to look a little below the surface, and you can still get some truth in America, but you can't get it from the mainstream media. Anybody that believes CNN, Fox, MSNBC, any of them, they're getting the truth. It's just not happening.
Case in point, you make a point about the pundits being on all of the different news channels after Soleimani got blowed up.
Right.
Okay. One of them was Jack Keane, a retired Army general who was on Fox News, and nobody understands the fact that he has worked for military companies like General Dynamics, Blackwater, and he is a partner with SCP Partners, which is a capital investment firm for defense contractors. Then you've got Van Hipp, who lobbies for American Defense.
That's a great point, Jerry. Somebody asked me the other day what I thought about General Keane, and I said that very thing. I said, you can't trust that guy. It's just like Colonel Ralph Peters. Do you remember him?
I've heard the name.
He used to be on Fox all the time. I think they booted him. Now he's on, I think, CNN or MSNBC. But, you know, you start to understand that these guys don't get on TV unless they back this whole CENTCOM Israeli-U.S. military agenda to take over the Middle East. I mean, if you don't go along with it, you don't get on TV, except the guy that Tucker has been having on, Colonel, I believe his name is McDermott, or not McDermott. Gosh, I can't think of his name.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. I thought it was McDermott.
He was just on there last night. But he is the only guy that I've seen come on, and he tells the truth, which kind of makes me worry that we're gonna see the last of him soon. But, yeah, he points out much of the same things we're talking about, that we are not doing anything that is good for America. Everything we're doing is for Israel.
Right, and it's bipartisan. Jed Johnson was Homeland Security Secretary under Obama. Well, he's now on the board of directors of Lockheed Martin. So he's a player.
Yes. Some of the neocons, since Trump has become president, have gone over to the Democrats. But these guys, yeah, they're bipartisan. They don't have a party. Bill Kristol's a good example.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Kristol's father, Irving Kristol, was a communist. And he started the neocons. He changed the name of his group because no one was interested in communism, but neoconservatism had a new ring to it. And so these people are nothing but brutal communists. They're little Eichmanns who are running around doing Israel's bidding. So that's, unfortunately, where Trump's taken our foreign policy.
And one of Trump's major backers is the dual citizen, Israel and American, Sheldon Adelson.
I've written a lot about Sheldon Adelson, and, you know, he came out and said that he regrets serving in the U.S. military, and he wished that he would have had an opportunity to serve in the Israeli army. What a patriot, huh?
Right. Well, Bill Clinton said that he would take up arms today and join the Israeli Defense Forces. But
you know what? I don't believe that at all. I believe he. Oh, no, I saw. I know he said it.
Yeah.
I don't think he would join any army. But, yeah, I know what you mean.
Right. And John Bolton, he's a piece of trash.
You know what? I'm sure you, when Trump hired Bolton, you know, he'd been trying to get on with Trump from the day he was elected. Bolton was trying to get his foot in the door. And Trump kept saying, I'm not going to hire Bolton. I'm not going to hire these neocons. But Trump did exactly what he said he wouldn't do. He hired neocons. He hired Bolton. And he kept all of these people that were on Obama's payroll, all these Obama administration holdovers. The whistleblower in the recent impeachment was a John Brennan employee that worked on the Ukraine desk with Joe Biden, probably with Hunter Biden, with Yovanovitch. I think what went on over there was all these people on the Ukraine desk were working with George Soros. I know Yovanovitch was. I think, I bet Vindman is on a first name basis with Soros. I read one of the FBI agents that was working in Ukraine has retired and gone to work for George Soros. So he has his hand in everything. He's had a number of NGOs over there for 30 years, non-governmental organizations. He controls, I think, pretty much everything that flows through Ukraine, including probably what happened at Burisma. You know, Burisma was more than likely just a shell company that was set up for money laundering and paying out money to people like Joe and Hunter Biden. You know, the Burisma, they found, sent a separate check to Joe Biden for $900,000 for lobbying. Why is no one asking about that? Do you think that they'll ever talk to Joe Biden and interview him under oath or Hunter Biden?
Not a chance. And yeah. When that
last thing these people want,
right? When that news wasn't even mainstream media, but Tex wrote an article. John Kerry's son was also working right alongside Hunter Biden for this gas company, Burisma.
Well, yeah. Chris Hines, his son, his
stepson,
and Whitey Bulger's nephew were all in business together, which is interesting. They're all from the Boston area. Whitey Bulger's brother was in politics. But these people, they keep talking about $50,000 a month. It was a lot more than that. Hunter Biden made millions of dollars. And, you know, no one's even talking about the billion-dollar deal in China. You know, you can't even fly to China without special permission from the State Department. You can't just get a flight to China with a passport. You have to apply. And Hunter Biden bypassed all that by going over to China with his father on Air Force Two, a government plane. Same thing with his trip to Ukraine. He flew over there on Air Force Two, met with Burisma, took the job not long after that trip, and yet Joe Biden claims that he knew nothing about it. He only found out later. Now, do you buy that? I mean, that's just nonsense. He says he and his son are close to as any son and father could be. How could he not know about a million-dollar deal with the largest energy company in Ukraine? It's just all nonsense. Have you ever heard any of the George Webb videos about Ukraine?
No, I haven't been on to see that.
I'm going to send you a couple things over. George Webb on YouTube, some incredible information, very detailed information that goes beyond anything I've read or seen anywhere else. But Joe Biden has to answer for what's going on. And whether they bring him in or his son in to this impeachment, the Senate needs to call him in anyway. They could still bring in appoint a grand jury. I'm just afraid that Bill Barr is going to drop the ball purposely and not get to the bottom of Spygate and what's going on in Iran. And it'll end up being just like Iran-Contra, where everyone back then was saying that we were bringing the drugs in. You know, Gary Webb wrote an interview that the U.S., the CIA, were bringing the drugs into the country, but the mainstream media viciously attacked him and the paper that he worked for. Even though he won a Pulitzer, the CIA harassed him, and he was found suicided with two bullets in his head, and they claim that he committed suicide. But George Bush pardoned Richard Secord, General Secord. He pardoned Ollie North. He pardoned all those people that were bringing the drugs in. They murdered Barry Seal. They threw people in prison, people like Chip Tatum. So I hope that doesn't happen here, but I'm afraid that Barr isn't going to get to the bottom of anything. And if that happens, I don't see how this country moves ahead like business as usual.
I don't either. It's amazing. I think something, to coincide with what you're saying about Bill Barr, I think something major is going to break, whether it's another 9/11 or a dirty bomb, something to take the people's minds off of the fact that Obama and that administration spied on the Trump campaign. Something is going to come out maybe there'll be a border clash with Mexico over the border wall.
Right.
Something is going to trigger the
false flags. Yeah, false flags and distractions. You know, that's unfortunately what Americans are fed. You know, real truth, you have to really go out and find. You can't just expect that the media is going to enlighten you. It's just not going to happen.
No, and Trump said that he was going to get our boys out of the Middle East. You know, Barack Obama said that, and he won a Nobel Peace Prize. But you said it. He had 560-some-odd drone strikes during his eight-year reign of terror.
Right.
So Trump mentions that we're going to bring our boys out of the Middle East. We're going to bring them home. What happened? Both sides of the aisle went crazy, started screaming, we can't do that. We're going to have more problems with ISIS. Well, the number two guy that got blowed up was Soleimani, was helping to end ISIS at the Iraq-Iran border. But now it is going to explode again. Was Trump targeting Soleimani and this other guy because we support ISIS? That's a question.
You know, have you read the contention that Soleimani was in Baghdad to meet with his Saudi counterpart to talk about a peace deal? Now, whether that was a peace deal in Yemen, which there should be, why aren't we doing something about that? Or whether it was a peace deal in Syria, you know, Iraq, who knows? But who would it not benefit for the Saudis and the Iranians to get along?
Right.
We know that Israel has been strangely allied with the Wahhabists in Iraq. And a lot of people believe that the Wahhabists are Jews. I don't know if you've ever read that. I think Tex may have even written about that. But the Jews do not want a peace deal between Iran and the Saudis. And neither does America for their, you know, Israeli agenda. They cannot have peace with Iran. Iran has refused to go along with the central bank. They've refused to separate themselves from Russia and China. And anyone that does that, Ukraine did that. Yanukovych did that. Anyone who does that is immediately targeted. So Yanukovych made a deal with Russia and rejected Obama's deal. And Obama came out and said, yeah, we need a guy that's going to go along and get along. So he brought in Hillary and her gang, and they took out Yanukovych and installed Petro Poroshenko. If you remember, Victoria Nuland, when she heard the EU did not want Poroshenko, she famously was recorded saying, F the EU, we'll put in who we want. So that's what's going on. The neocons are doing what they want, and they're getting rid of people that aren't going along with it. And unfortunately, Trump is being led around by the nose, and it appears that Jared Kushner and Mike Pompeo have a lot more authority than they should have.
Amen. Well, Pat, that's going to take care of it today. Man, thank you so much for coming on and visiting with me today on this topic.
I really enjoyed it, Jerry. Thanks so much.
Fastest hour in radio, brother. I keep telling people.
Thanks.
Thank you much. Have a great day. God bless you, brother.
You too, Jerry.
Bye. That was my guest, Pat McShay. I appreciate you tuning in, giving me another hour of your time, and I pray that you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.